I had a, you guys want to hear a testimony? Some of you probably saw this. I pulled it off of Facebook, maybe. Yeah. So this is, if you're on Facebook, maybe you saw this, but Lindsay Coyle is one of the revival pastors in, at Bethel, and she posted this in, I don't know, yesterday or something, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I just captured it so I could read it to you guys. It says, I was running errands yesterday, minding my own business, when I saw a woman crying as she was reading a message on her phone. I was filled with compassion, so I approached her because I wanted to encourage her. Hi, excuse me, is your name Marie? You don't know me, but I just want you to know that joy is coming soon, and you will be able to hold grace in your arms. The woman responded, what? How do you know all this? Do you know my daughter? As it turns out, Joy is her daughter, who she hasn't seen in years, and Grace is her granddaughter, who she had never met. She was just reading a text from her daughter telling her that she wanted to come visit soon so she can meet and hold her new granddaughter. I got to pray for her while I'm in shock the whole time, and overwhelmed with God's goodness, praying for anyone reading this to encounter the outrageous love of the Father. Father. Isn't that cool? So cool. It's so like Him to just drop us in the right moment at the right time with a couple of the right words and just totally rock somebody's world and change someone's life, and just cool. You guys just appreciate our worship team? Yeah. Just brought it. It's good. Well, it's good to be back. We were gone. I was gone for a week with our Mission Builders team, Bobby and Stuart and Reuben and Buck. And me. Is that everybody? I forget. And anyway, we had a blast. We got to, we worked hard. And we had a good time together. We accomplished a bunch. Again, if you get on Facebook, you can see pictures and things like that. But it was a lot of fun. We got to bless Rancho and just hang out together and be together as friends. And I got to preach a couple times, which was fun, unexpected, but fun. And preaching with an interpreter is always a funny challenge. But Hodmi was my interpreter, so that was fun. So we got to have fun together. And I like trying to come up with words that she can't figure out, and complicated things to say. And she looked at me. It's pretty fun. But yeah, we just had a blast and got to honor Leo and Sandra. If you don't know Leo and Sandra, Sandra Buchanan's daughter, who married Leo, who is from Mexico. Anyway, they lived here for, like 7 or 8 years, I mean, like that. And anyway, just got to be real close friends with a couple of guys here. And they've been working on an addition to their house that's on the Rancho property. For, I don't know, forever. It seems like that slab they poured, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And they kind of just, as money comes in or as he has time and stuff. And so, anyway, it's been a long time coming that their house needs to be bigger for all the people that are living with them. And they've taken people in, and plus just their own kids. And so, anyway, yeah, God laid it on Bobby's heart to go down there. So we did all the, basically it was just roughed in, just studs. And so we went in, we did all the plumbing and gas lines, all the electrical, set up the new electrical and everything. We did all the insulation and all the sheetrock in 4 days, four and a little bit days. So it was amazing. It was fun. And thank you guys for letting us go. It's always weird to be gone over a Sunday. For me, it's always weird. But yeah, I missed you guys. And it's good to be home. And I heard Dave just tore it up last week. reverberated all the way to the other country. So. Okay. We're going to see. I'm making a mess. I've been on Facebook more recently. I know, I'm sorry. But I have. I think we have a hope problem. Maybe it's just me that's noticed that, but I want to talk a little bit about hope and perseverance and where I think we are and where I believe God's encouraging us to be and some things to grab a hold of and go from there. Is that all right? Is it okay? Okay. I'm thinking of a bunch of things, so. Perseverance is the continued effort to do or achieve something despite of difficulties, failures, or opposition. Specifically, I want to talk a little bit about, or I want to kind of get this picture in our head, I want to talk about generations. Because one of the things I want to encourage us to persevere in is the passing on of our core values, our belief system to the following generations. No matter what generation you're in, we have all of them represented probably in this room. But this ability to, and kind of what I've been watching is this frustration with the following generations in holding on to the things that the prior generations have held dear. If that makes sense. Hopefully it'll make sense as we go on. I realized recently that I'm no longer a young adult. I know. You guys aren't surprised, but I was. I know. It was a tough transition. I realized that there's a whole generation of adults that are younger than me. Like, I don't know when I realized that, but they have like kids and wives and they're having like their 10-year wedding anniversaries, and that was a revelation for me. So I realized that I'm not like this. I think it was actually at a Jesus Culture event, and when they talked about the young generation, and I've missed the cutoff. It's like, wait a second. Wait, what? What now? What'd you say? I'm not in that group anymore. So now I have to pray for those people. Like, if you're between this age and this age, please stand up. And I'm like, oh, that's not me. And then if you're older than that, then you pray for it, lay hands on those guys. And I'm like, oh, no. Okay. Anyway, in this whole process, all of us, knowing where we are in this generational thing that's going on, and whether we like it or not, we are where we are. And there's, I want to look, kind of just talk about and look at the generations that are coming up behind us, whether or not there's multiples of them or a couple or whatever. It doesn't matter where you are in that. There's always some people younger than you that are struggling to figure out what it's all about. And the struggle that I'm seeing, the frustration maybe is a better word that I'm seeing, is that, and my generation included, but the older generations, being frustrated with where we are as a society right now and how other generations are processing what's going on, processing the world and the way and the condition that it's in right now. And it's interesting, with Facebook, you can see big chunks of people. You can see individuals too, but you can kind of take the temperature of a group of people. Not necessarily, can't all be just a generation or whatever, but definitely groups of people that choose to read, follow, repost, those kind of things. Anyway, I've just kind of been noticing these kind of trends, and I believe that that actually currently we have some of the most creative and innovative young people that have ever been on this planet. They really are an amazing generation. And like I said, I'm the young adults that I'm not including myself in necessarily. But we have this group of young people, if you would say the, you know, the 19 to the 35s. And this group of people that are this next group to, you know, go after curing cancer and eradicating poverty and, you know, creating a community that embraces peace on the whole planet. And they're going after amazing things, amazing group of people. And yet the values of our forefathers, the values of our nation, so to speak, that's kind of kingdom values, and they're being undermined by a spirit of entitlement. And I've talked about entitlement before, and I'm not going to talk too much about it, but basically the idea of entitlement is this strong belief that you deserve something, or you deserve anything, really. This strong belief that whatever it is that you have, that you deserve it. And a lot of different things can happen, but what happens is, if that thing, whatever that is, gets taken away or ends or for whatever reason, you see this kind of spirit of entitlement kind of raise up. And I remember one of the best pictures of it was there was a couple people sitting on a plane. And if you have been on a plane recently, I was on a plane just a couple days ago. A lot of the newer planes, if it was the last 3 or 4 years, they actually have Wi-Fi on their planes now. And a while back when that first started happening, where you could actually, you know, connect with people while you're on a plane, it used to be that once you got on the plane, it's like, okay, I can't do anything until I land. And now there's Wi-Fi, but you're connected to the world now. You don't have to stop getting on Facebook for your flight. And sitting next to someone who was excited about the Wi-Fi, like it's the first Wi-Fi flight. It's going to be cool. We're going to have Wi-Fi. And so as the plane takes off, announcement comes over the loudspeaker that says, I'm sorry, we're having technical difficulties with the Wi-Fi thing, and it's not going to be working for this flight. And this person, like, what? Really, really upset about not having Wi-Fi. It was like, how are you so upset about something that you didn't even know was here until you sat down and read this little card that said, hey, there's Wi-Fi. And that's really the spirit of entitlement, this thing of like, I was so set on this and I wanted this and it was taken away from me, and now I've got this righteous anger because I think I deserve, because it was somehow in my mind I deserved it. And there's all these things, and I've recently posted something online, actually. It said, today's injustices become tomorrow's battles. Meaning that when we identify things that we don't think are right, they become a battle. If we connect, if we relate to them, they become something we're willing to fight for. Today's battles are tomorrow's victories. I believe that when we choose to fight for things and we co-labor with the Lord, we win those battles and they become victories. Today's victories are tomorrow's freedoms. And unfortunately, today's freedoms are often taken for granted because the injustice has been forgotten. I believe that in a lot of ways, we're in a place right now that some injustices have been forgotten. We have a generation that forgot how we got here. They forgot how we ended up in this place. How we ended up in this with the freedoms that we have. And you see it a lot with different, all kinds of different posts. And I know I'm not probably saying anything that you guys haven't seen, but what I'm doing is just kind of building this idea of perseverance and of restoring and keeping hope alive and the importance of it right now. Because entitlement is this powerful beast. that's actually becoming an acceptable part of our culture. That people don't shut it down, they actually partner with it. And we hear things that come across as entitled, and people speaking kind of this entitled, complaining about what we deserve, what we should have, or whatever. And then instead of kind of shutting that down, oftentimes we end up partnering with it. But I was sitting here this morning and I was just kind of processing through what my message was. And this verse came into my mind, which a lot of us know, it's that we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And I'll tell you that it's tough to get into the presence of God with an entitled spirit, because we enter in with thanksgiving and praise. There's a revelation of what we're thankful for, what He's given us. It's hard to be entitled and thankful in the same place, almost impossible, at least not for the same thing. And I believe that there's this the spirit of entitlement is actually creates a wall between us and the presence of God. This thing of this belief that we're not getting what we deserve, or that it isn't how it should be, or on and on and on. Are you guys with me? I know I'm a little heavy right now. I need a joke or something. I don't have one. I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay. If we're going to break through this entitled... Now listen, I'm not telling you guys that you're all entitled. Please don't hear that at all. But I know you know someone who is. Nobody in this room. But I'm sure you've run into it from time to time. And I believe we're going to break through this entitlement. We got to break this thing of entitlement. But we cannot give way to discouragement and hopelessness. All right, Romans 15. It says, "For whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ." You know, there has to be a crucifixion to have a resurrection. We have to go through... I'll say it like this. We often go through the dark night of the soul to see the sunrise. And how you operate during that, I can't imagine, and we know from reading through scriptures where the disciples were at in their understanding of what was going to happen with Jesus. They loved Jesus. They had been seeing his ministry and his power, but they really did not have a clue. Well, maybe they had a clue. They just did not understand what he was there for. That this was going to be a death and resurrection. And so I can't imagine the defeat that it must have felt like to see Jesus being brutally murdered and hung on the cross. I just can't imagine the darkness and the loss that it must have been like. Man, everything we thought was going to be is right there being taken away. But you have to have a crucifixion to have a resurrection. You have to hold on to, we need to hold on to, and I'm not saying we're in that a dark night of the soul, that's not what I'm saying. But in some of us it feels like that. Like things are, whether it's, no matter what it is, when you find yourself in that place, when you find yourself in like, how do I get from here to where I know and hope for? How do I get there? And I think oftentimes what I'm seeing and what I keep seeing is that it's too oftentimes so painful to hold on to hope that we just kind of let it go. We just take what the condition that we're in, and we begin to just slowly but surely lean towards partnering with, yeah, things are just pretty bad, or things are tough, or. And I believe there's this time right now to stir up hope. If the church can't do it, who's going to do it? Like, if the people that believe in Jesus can't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to say the words, and who's going to bring hope and freedom? And so the challenge is to remain hopeful for the promise. What are you hopeful in? When you inventory your fuel for hope, how long is your list? When you inventory what you're hopeful for, how long is it? And I want to encourage you that it should be the longest list you have. If we can keep that list longer than all the things that we know are going wrong, all the things aren't the way. So what happens is we maybe have one or two things left over there, and then we have this big long list of things we got to change. And so we spend, you know, a few seconds in prayer being thankful, and the rest of the time in request mode. And that's okay. But I want to encourage you today that we lengthen the list of the things we hope for. Are you guys okay? You're quiet. Perseverance is rooted in hope. It's hope that causes people to refuse to give up. But hope must be cultivated to be a culture. If we can't cultivate hope, who will? There's a really interesting verse in Luke 9:62. It says, but Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It's a really interesting verse about not looking back and judging how the work was done. Not looking at the rows, not looking at what has passed, but realizing that we have to move forward. So speaking of, since it's Super Bowl Sunday, sports analogy for you. One of the things that whenever the Super Bowl comes up, I always get asked, who are you rooting for? I honestly haven't watched an entire football game the whole season, so. But I always have the same answer. I hope it's a good game. I hope it's a good game. Because there's nothing like the end of or middle of the second quarter when you're like, this game's pretty much over. And all these people are at my house. I don't really want to watch it, but we're going to sit here for the next 3 hours watching this game that we know how it's going to go. And so really I'm hoping for a good game, but what you see in a good game, and what I mean good game is basically two teams that are pretty equally matched, right? The skill is, it might be in different places on the team, but it's pretty equal. And so they're battling out. It's a battle of coaching, and it's a battle of strategy, and it's instead of just one team is better and they just destroy the other team. Now, I know some of you guys want to see that happen, and that's okay, but it doesn't work for my analogy. So that's the kind of game I like to watch, you know, something that's where it's stressful and it's a little bit like, it could go either way. It's going to be great. And the reason is, one of the reasons is because perseverance, the reason why I'm bringing it up, perseverance isn't seen in the first, second, even the third quarter, but it's in the fourth quarter. Who can hang on to it? Who can stick in there when the skill has been canceled out, really? Equal skill. And so who can hang on to it? Who can hold on to heart and hope and fight it through? And that's where perseverance shows up. And I feel like if there was a 10-year-long game going on, we're in the fourth quarter right now. We're in the fourth quarter, and it doesn't mean that we don't start another game or another season, but we're coming to the end or to the, I don't know. It just feels like we're in this place where the last 10 years, 15 maybe, I don't know, are culminating in the next year or so. There's this thing of grabbing hold of hope and digging deep, deciding who and what you're going to say, what you're going to do, what you're going to... And it all leads up to the next couple years. I don't know why. I don't know what that means. I'm just sharing what my heart is saying. I remember playing sports in high school, and I remember hating to run. I hated it. I still hate to run. I only run if I'm being chased by something that could kill me. I hated running. But what I realized I had to keep thinking, okay, during the game, I'm going to need this. During the game, I'm going to need this. And really, a lot of times, if the teams are equally matched, especially in high school, the team that wins is the team that ran the most in practice. Like, that's what ends up happening, because the one team is just gasses out, and the other team keeps going. They can keep going. They can keep it up. Why? Because of the endurance, because of the perseverance. And oftentimes, I mean, that we all feel that way. It's like the why are we running? I feel like we've been running forever. But the Lord's conditioning us. Or we've been conditioned. Don't give up. Hang on. Perseverance isn't a gift. It's an attitude. Perseverance isn't just something that falls on you. It's actually a way of thinking. It's a daily choice to stand in a certain place, to believe a certain thing, to hold on to a certain truth. And I've said a lot of times that hope and faith is not forgetting what needs to change. It's not about pretending. It's not about convincing yourself that the way things are okay. It's about focusing on the greatness that I think. I put it in my notes somewhere, but it's about believing that the goodness of God will still cover the earth, and that what you do matters, what you choose matters. And just like the testimony I read, which was a simple choice of turning with compassion towards someone that obviously looked like they needed it. I mean, you can walk right by. It's not difficult to keep on task with whatever you're doing. But Lindsay chose to turn, and what happened? God came right down with just simple words, simple time. All right, Luke 18. This is a story. I'm not going to read the whole story. I mean, it's not very long, but I'll just tell you, some of you probably know this story. It's a parable of a widow and a wicked judge. And the widow needed some protection, some legal protection, and she needed the judge to make some decisions and decree. And this is Jesus telling the story. He says that the judge did not fear God or respect man. And so really he didn't care. He had no compassion. He didn't care about this widow that needed protection, that needed some help. But she kept coming back. And time and time again and basically bothering this judge. And it says, "For a while he was unwilling, but after he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man,'" basically mean, I don't really care about this woman, "because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." Hear what this unrighteous judge says. "Will God not bring about justice for His elect, who cry to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" This is like that verse where I feel like the Lord gives us permission to bug Him. It's like when your kids stand in the kitchen and,
Mom, hey Mom, Dad,
what? Push you to the brink. Who knew that was in Scripture? It's your kids just being holy. I know. Don't. I'm just kidding about that. We won't keep coming back. We won't keep pressing in unless we have belief that it will make a difference. Somewhere in the heart of this widow was, I'm not giving up, because if I don't give up, things will change. That's perseverance. Perseverance is holding on to the hope of what can change. We have an opportunity in our history right now to let go or to hold on. And I've seen this, I've heard it, there's articles, all this stuff about it's just the way the world is kind of going. I actually just saw this post, and maybe you guys saw it too. I'm talking about Facebook a lot, but whatever. Of all these pictures, and I don't remember exactly, I can't quote the title, but it's all these pictures of that prove that the world is going to hell or something. I don't remember what it is, but going, just being destroyed or something. And there are all these horrible, miserable pictures, like 20 of them. I got about halfway through it. I'm like, I gotta turn. This is horrible. They're like the worst of the worst parts of humanity. Now, are they true? I think probably most of them were like a true thing. Some of them were a little bit inflated. But I was thinking about all of the pictures that I see some of you guys post. Like Tim posted a picture last week of this snowy thing with this rainbow, and I'm like, dude, that's a really neat picture. Asher posted a picture of the coast. It was like the sunset was hitting, and anyway, it was awesome. And I was thinking, wow, we so have a choice to choose, which group of pictures we're going to focus on and keep scrolling in our minds and life. And it's not a denial of these things, these crazy things are going on. It's not just denying or pretending, but it's choosing to grab a hold of the way things can be and pouring over and filling our hearts with the things that God is doing that are amazing. The things that people are doing that are amazing. There really are some amazing things happening. I want to talk just a little bit about another kind of challenge that pours into this, and I'm trying to figure out how to make it fit, but I'm just going to go for it. Is that right? Sometimes the side effects of a life of miracles or living, embracing the supernatural, can challenge our ability to embrace suffering and sacrifice. We talked about, I preached a few, maybe a month ago now or more, about storms and building on the rock. And there's this truth that's held in tension between a faith-filled life that speaks to the storm with authority and the life of a disciple that actually builds something on the rock because knowing that storms will come. There's this balance. Because how many of you guys know if you believe you have this miraculous understanding, which is true, but this miraculous understanding that I have authority in storms and so I'm going to rebuke them all and then no storms are going to come, you have no reason to build on a rock. The sand is just as good a place as any. And if any storms come, I'm just going to rebuke them and I'll be fine. So there's actually a faith-filled life that can lead to entitlement. And the challenge we see is that it's how people, it's the challenge of living in inheritance. Going full circle back to what we were talking about before. Forgetting what it costs to get here. It's funny, I hope that my kids, and I'm pretty sure, I hope that my kids will never know what it's like to live in poverty. But how many of you guys know, you need to know what it's like to live in poverty? You know, there's a truth that's held in tension. So I have to teach something new to my kids. Something that I learned through just life. And Shannon and I have talked about this before. About those seasons we remember with our parents where we kind of remember, it wasn't direct, but remember not having any money. And then going through those motions with us, kind of as we were kids, kind of protecting us from it. But when we think back now, we realize, oh, we didn't have any money. And then getting raised in the next generation that my kids don't have as much of those experiences, running out, not having enough to pay the power bill or to fill the cupboards or to... That's not part of their experience. And so we have this new challenge of living in abundance. And we have an entire generation of people right now that are living in abundance, that are living in a freedom, that are living in... I have to be careful not to get... Listen, the challenge with creating a whole bunch of jobs, right? We talk about, man, we need jobs for our country. You know, one of the challenges is we have a bunch of people that don't want to work. And it's a real thing. It's actually, I think, a bigger problem. We're facing things. People are thinking things and thinking in ways that they never would have thought 30 years ago. Never would have even crossed their mind to think. It just never would have thought their mind, crossed their mind. To quit a job before you have another one. Like, I'm not talking about like these huge things, but there are these cultural things that are starting to. And part of the challenge is that we're seeing a generation that was born into inheritance. Are you guys okay? Okay. And we lose our ability to embrace suffering and press through hard times and to persevere. Perseverance begins to just fade, the necessity of it. I remember, you know, my grandfather who lived as a teenager through the Depression. I remember when he told me about Christmas, about their Christmas. He was one of 11 kids in his family. Like somewhere right in the middle to the, I think he was like six in or something. And he told me for Christmas, they would get an apple or an orange and a pair of shoes. And he remembers it being awesome. And he said that the challenge was to, I mean, you'd save your fruit as long as you could, as long as fruit will last, but to make your shoes last as long as you could. So you'd only wear them, like at first, you'd only wear them, you know, every couple days for special occasions or whatever. And then as they start to wear out, and you start to wear them a little more. And then you just be kind of holding them together, hoping that they're waiting for next Christmas. Now, of course, I think they made shoes better back then. They just self-destruct after like 3 months now. But the point being that like that was their Christmas, and that's what it was good. Anyway. It's an interesting place that we're in. And I'll tell you, we need the experience from every generation. We need the oldest generation to have perseverance and hope for the youngest, and then everybody in between. We need the church not to give up on core values and right and wrong and principles and not gossiping and slandering and, you know, honor and integrity and perseverance. Do not grow weary of doing good. Don't lose hope in the generation that's following you. Don't give up on the goodness of God covering the earth. We need the perseverance of the faithful and the hopeful. You need to be the salt and the light. Because if this group won't do it, I don't know what will happen. I'm not thinking about it. But man, if the church, we got a lot louder. If the church will step up and step in and hang in there and persevere, all is not lost. It's really not. This group of people, really, these young adults that are coming out, maybe high school all the way through early 30s, and they need wisdom and insight. And above all, they need hope. They so need hope. All right. Let's be hopeful with our words and actions. Let's be generous with our time and our money. And let's love in such a way that inspires a generation. Will you guys stand with me? I'm going to read that one more time. This is really the point. Really, I just want us to grab a hold of our authority and our power and how important what you do is. How important how you treat, how important what you repost, how important how you enter into and stand in conversations, and it's so important. It's so life-changing. So let's be hopeful with our words and actions. Let's be generous with our time and money. And let's love in such a way that inspires a generation. So put your hand on your heart. Lord, I just pray for perseverance, for persistence. Lord, I pray that you just stir hope up in us. Give us opportunities to ooze the kingdom onto the people around us. Help us not give up. Help us dream. And help us love in such a way that inspires this coming up generation. Let us show them what love really is. That to love people we don't know, to take care of and look after, to be generous. Let us carry the love that you took to the cross and came back to life for us to inherit. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good and that your love endures forever. And that you have good plans for this place. You have good plans for this planet. You have good plans for these people. Amen.